Declare your independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day here on RBN Network from Freedoms, with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, here in Phoenix, Arizona. Today, we're going to do it up. Okay, we have scheduled Frosty Wooldridge. He is a regular columnist on Freedoms Phoenix, and he and I go way back. Well, yesterday, we had his brother Howard on, and he spoke to us about law enforcement against prohibition. Now, how I know Frosty and Howard, it goes way, way, way back. And I'll tell you what happened with Howard. He, 18-year law enforcement, and he is making sure that, you know, we get an understanding of what's going on the border and how the drug war has entered into this. This is a very, very, very important issue for us to understand the basic principles of. And it comes down to what it always comes down to. Do you own yourself? And it's easy. You can understand when dealing with, you know, libertarians, and certainly me in general, is I put everything around that very concept. Social and economic engineering always requires that there's somebody else that knows better for me. There's a society thing. You know, well, you know, it's the state versus. You know, if you had a purely libertarian society, it would be to where the only purpose of government defending individual rights. You would have private property is everywhere. You know, somebody owns something. I give you an example. When I was a kid growing up in the 60s and 70s, it was the buffalo. Buffalo, they're going away. Buffalo are going extinct. Buffalo's on the endangered species list. Buffalo is, and right up until they were privately owned. All of a sudden, we got more buffalo than we know what to do. We're eating buffalo hamburgers. You know, within a few years. Why? Because they allowed private ownership. So there's, you look at America in general, and you'll say all the problems that you can list an enormous number of problems, and I can solve it with private ownership. We're going to go ahead and get into the immigration thing. Frosty Wooldridge and I have been acquaintances and friends for a long time. I've had him on the show before, and he's allowed to say whatever he wants on Freedom's Phoenix. I'm from the left, the right, pro, anti, everybody, you know, let's duke it out. Let's have it. Let's go for it. In 2006, Frosty was an invited guest speaker at the Freedom Summit that we had done in Casa Grande. And I knew what was coming, and I wanted to make sure we got the issues out, because when it happened, I'd be having Frosty on. And he's on. Now, this is what's going to happen. The discussion that we had in Casa Grande pitted Frosty. You know, he's going that this is what we got to have. We got to have immigration control and, you know, whatever reasons, and we'll discuss it today. And he was debating Terry Bressey, which is checkpointusa.com. December of 2002, he was pulled over on the side of the road for going through a checkpoint and refusing to comply with all the alphabet agencies that were there. And it sent us on a lawsuit that went all the way to the Ninth Circuit on determining what they can do to us on the road. Well, he discussed that with Bumper Hornberger also. It was a debate. A lot of issues got out. When we come back, we have Frosty Wooldridge on. We're going to have that discussion for you. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
The Matrix is a system, Neo. That system is our enemy. When you're inside, you look around, what do you see? Businessmen, teachers, lawyers, carpenters. The very minds of the people we are trying to save. But until we do, these people are still a part of that system, and that makes them our enemy. You have to understand, most of these people are not ready to be unplugged. And many of them are so inert, so hopelessly dependent on the system, that they will fight to protect it. Were you listening to me, Neo? Or were you looking at the woman in the red dress?
I was...
Look again. Who is it? Sentient programs. Anyone we haven't unplugged is potentially an agent. Inside the Matrix, they are everyone and they are no one. They are guarding all the doors, they are holding all the keys, which means that sooner or later, someone is going to have to fight them.
Someone.
I won't lie to you, Neo. Every single man or woman who has stood their ground, everyone who has fought an agent has died. But where they have failed, you will succeed.
Why?
Their strength and their speed are still based in a world that is built on rules. Because of that, they will never be as strong or as fast as you can be.
What are you trying to tell me? That I can dodge bullets?
No, Neo. I'm trying to tell you that when you're ready, you won't have to.
Oh, we're not going to have to dodge the bullets. We're just going to have to tell the truth. See, the system is, it's a system that's being supported. The system. If the system was there to perform a certain function, can we hold them to that function? Can you ever hold a system to their function? Government, the Matrix, is there to defend individual rights. When the system becomes the goal, to support the system, you know, it's kind of like a Steiger's Law thing. You hear me talk about it. There's whenever you create an organization or a structure around a cause, sooner or later, the structure becomes more important than the reason you created it. SB 1070 was a perfect example of that. This immigration law is there to support a system. It doesn't support what the system was supposed to be there to protect, individual rights. Frosty Wooldridge and I have a difference of opinion. I got you there, Frosty?
Yeah, I appreciate it, Ernie, and thank you for helping me on the show.
Yeah, no. It's always a pleasure. You know, see, the one thing I want to tell the audience, and Frosty knows this, he and I have known each other a long time, that Freedom's Phoenix is about sincere people that want to be able to express themselves to let them. That doesn't mean I got to read it, but I mean, I know Frosty's thing, man. We've done this before, and I get it. But you know, to quash what he has to say has two detrimental effects. One, it doesn't give you the other side, so you can formulate and exercise your argument. And the other thing is that Frosty has a following. He has a lot of supporters, and he brings them over to Freedom Phoenix to get their cortex brushed with libertarianism. That's all good.
That's so correct.
So this is, preaching to the choir didn't do any good. I get a lot of criticism from libertarians. Oh, I can't believe you have Frosty on there. Oh, my gosh, nobody's making you read it, you know? So, but he has a lot of followers. In fact, we got some guys, they're registering on the site, and they're using my name to post comments. And they're going, yeah, ship the whipbacks back to Mexico, says Ernest Hancock. Well, everybody knows that's not me. But, you know, what do I do? I mean, you can't use my name do I start cutting people off? Do I start, you just kind of out them. And sooner or later, I got their emails and so on. We'll have some fun if I need to. But the thing is that the openness of Freedom's Phoenix is what's got them angry. You know, there's an effectiveness. We have an impact on defining what this bill really is. But first, I need Frosty to go ahead and tell us what your concern is, Frosty, about immigration in particular, the proper role that government should be defending something. There's a reason why you support this bill. And then we'll go over what the bill actually does. And I remember our conversation, got on videotape, doing the big debate and all that with Bumper Hornberger, Future Freedom Foundation, and Terry Bressey, you know, scientist down in University of Arizona, travels that road between University of Arizona and Kitt Peak, where he does his space watch, asteroids don't kill us kind of work. And he has to go through this all the time. He challenged it. It goes to the Ninth Circuit. They, you know, rule in his favor, but on limited issues. And so we're very well versed in this. And at that debate that we had there, yeah, I made one comment. And I go, Frosty, the only way you can get what you want is you have to have papers, please. You have to have a national ID. You have to have an ability to stop people, check them, ship them. And that's what you got. I mean, you know, you're saying that's not what you got. That is what you got. You're glad you got it. I mean, what's your thing, man?
Well, Ernie, you and I agree on many, many things, and we certainly have our challenging differences. And what I do respect is the fact that you bring the discussion to the national, even international arena, and all of us are in this thing together. And as I've said in the past, this is a human tragedy, whether we have, you know, 2 million or 5 million or 10 million immigrants added to our population every year. Again, as I've said, and this is the my experiences from my world travel across six continents on my bicycle, and I've seen what is and what is coming. The human race is on a collision course with its own numbers. And so places like Mexico, it doubled from 50 to 104 million in the last century. It's now 111 million. Just 10 years into this century, and it's going to hit around 150 million or at about 40 million people in the next 40 years. And so its tragedy is it is one-fifth the size of the United States. 45% of Mexico is arid. It can't even grow crops. And so there is no end to the line, ladies and gentlemen, of this immigration, really a human Katrina, if you want to call it a human Katrina. And so what I'm trying to do, and I do at Freedom's Phoenix and across the country, and I just spoke on the Dan Rhea show last night in Boston. Must have been 10 million listeners, and they were attentive, because what I'm trying to do is called a consciousness shift, and then create a critical mass shift, and then create a tipping point shift, because no matter how you look at it, we cannot continue to absorb millions of immigrants from that line that grows by 77 million per year. Because if we do, we'll simply become the same overloaded and completely unsustainable society that and civilization that you see in other countries like Mexico, certainly in Asia, whether it's China or India or Bangladesh. They're already where we don't want to go. And if you want to see examples, look at California. It's a nightmare of overpopulation. It's a nightmare of water shortages. It's crushed traffic. It's air-polluted air. It's got species extinction going wild, and it's right now growing by 1,700 people per day, net gain. And you can go to capsweb.org to verify that. It's adding 400 to 500 vehicles per day to support that kind of a population gain. It's adding 600,000 per year. It's losing 250,000 acres of land to just development every year there in California. It's called the ecological footprint. And for those of you who don't know what the ecological footprint is, it's 12.6 acres here in the United States have to be destroyed for every human being added to this civilization. And if you add the 100 million that are projected in the next 25 years by the year 2035, you've just destroyed 1.26 billion acres of land that's now going to be in development rather than habitat for animals and creatures and other, you know, our fellow travelers on this little globe. And so, as I've said in the past, and many of my articles really bring this, and of course the one I'm doing right now is the series. It's going to be a 40-part series. I hope everyone's reading it. It's Overpopulation in 21st Century America. And I bring about every aspect of what we are facing as we add these huge numbers of people. And I might add in futility, because if you keep adding population, exponential growth is not sustainable in the first place. It's not viable. It lowers and degrades the quality of life. It lowers and degrades the standard of living for all. And it simply destroys our environment to the point where at some point, we won't be able to enjoy the ample water that we do. Now, to give you an example, in Arizona, Arizona has about 6 million people, and 6 million people depend on just one thing, the Colorado River flowing out of my state, Colorado, just for your water, for your green lawns, for your golf courses. Well, you're on course right now in Arizona to add 4 million more people. 4 million. Does that mean it's going to, you know, clarify the air over Phoenix? Is it going to stop the gridlock traffic? Is it going to make the price of gas go down? Is it going to make the price of water go down? Are you going to have any advantages to adding 4 million people to Phoenix and the Arizona area? And the logical, rational answer to that is no. It's going to be worse. It's going to be far worse, and it's going to be worse beyond that.
All right, we're coming up on the break, Frosty.
Okay.
So you got enough of your say, I might have a counter.
Okay.
So when we come back, we'll go ahead and I'll do my rant, and then we'll at the bottom of the hour have a long segment that Frosty and I will go ahead and have an exchange of minds, and you know it's going to be interesting. You stay right there.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Want to break free? I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies. You're so self-satisfied, I don't need you.
Oh, yeah, we just want to break free. You know, that's what we're going to do. We're going to try and, can we have this kind of a controlled society and freedom at the same time? What is our primary goal? I mean, are we here to what? And we're going to use what numbers to determine what? Okay, so I have a lot of information coming from Frosty that can be, you know, stipulated to. I mean, we have more people here. I mean, think about it. When I was a kid in school, we're under our 200 million. We've added over 100 million since I was born. So we'll have another 100 million or 200 or whatever. But I have to ask some basic questions. If we are to try to control the population, if that is your main concern, population, the sheer number of people. Yeah, don't breathe into the microphone, Frosty. We can hear you breathing.
Sorry.
If we have a number of people that is the problem, how far are we willing to go to control the number of people? Do we have to become China? Forced abortions? Forced relocation? Do we have, who can and can't live where? What? I mean, I just want to know, because this has been the fear tactic that's been going around my entire life. Population control. I mean, heck, we just have Invisible Empire. They're copying by the thousands here from Alex Jones's thing. That's their. I haven't even watched the film yet, and I'll guarantee it's all about the central planners of whatever and population control reduction. We got it. I mean, you're sounding exactly like that, and I want to know, at what point do you have governments determining what the population in America? Say we don't have a single immigrant coming here ever again. Is there a number or mechanism by which you would control that number?
Excellent question, and I'm thankful that you brought it up, because, first of all, I'm a math and science teacher. I don't use fear in the classroom. I simply bring the numbers up, and you can either equate them or you simply don't work the equation itself.
Or I'm not afraid of the number.
Right.
So,
okay, well,
so go ahead.
So this is not about fear. This is about reality, and the reality is this: since 1970,
I don't want to hear you. I gave you your chance, man.
Right.
Billions
okay.
and billions of people. Another billion people just moved to America. I get it.
Okay.
Let's say they just grew. We all start having 10 kids.
No.
What mechanism are you going to use to control the population in America?
Right.
And is there a number you got in your head that's too much, not enough? I mean, I need to know the control mechanism. How are you going to do it?
Okay.
You already
no
got
control.
Papers, please. What else you need?
Right. No, I advocate no control of population whatsoever, because the American female has been averaging 2.03 children since 1970. So, therefore, we are a stable population and have been since 1970, had it not been for mass immigration starting in 1965 with Teddy Kennedy and his Immigration Reform Act,
started adding 1.5 million per year.
See, you're missing my point. You know, we got
to
get down.
I'm getting to your point. You have to have the background information for the point.
Why?
So, because you have to understand the equation. You can't work the equation unless you.
I'm not doing an equation. You give me a number, I'll give you another number. You know, numbers don't mean no. I got to do math. You got a table or something. I mean, that's not my point. My point is, if you have too many people, I need to know how you determine who too many people is, what number that is, and what you're willing to do to stop it. You're willing to have the government stop people and produce identification. I'm wondering if we don't have another single immigrant coming into this country, and we have more people. We have a birth rate that goes out. I mean, whatever. I just want to know. We have limited. The Wyoming caldera goes. Boom. The whole West is gone. All of a sudden, everybody's crowded into east of the Mississippi. You know, now I just need to know, what mechanism are you willing to use in order to control population? Do you have a number? I mean, is your math produced no more than this number? And then if it exceeds that number, then what?
Well, again, we are a stable population from that.
I don't care. That's not my question.
And so my goal is to have a 10-year moratorium on all immigration into this country so we can catch our breath. We've got 20 million Americans who are unemployed. We've got 35 million Americans who are subsisting on food stamps. We're only adding 95,000 jobs of every 30 days, according to A.D. Couric last week.
See, Frosty, this is – see, I don't want to get
– let me finish. We're also adding 150 to 180 million immigrants every 150 to 180.
See, if you're
going to
make the audience have to get out a calculator and pen and paper, you're not, you know, we're not going to learn anything.
Okay.
You know,
so
I need
after a 10-year moratorium, we then allow 100,000 immigrants into this country every year, because that's how many egress the country every year, and that was a successful equation from 1924 through 1964.
See, you're killing me. You're wanting an equation. I mean, are we going to run this question, this country, based on numbers and not principle? I mean, I already win. I win. I'm done. We can finish now.
No, you have to run it on sustainability. You have to run it
based on whose determination? Who decides?
You know, the final arbiter in this thing will be water, but right now we import 70% of our oil every day that actually runs this country, and those will be the final arbiters of how many people that can be sustained within the United States of America.
Okay, the music's coming into a long segment, and we'll start taking callers, and we'll get it, but I go, you know, technology, all of a sudden I got totally free solar power, fusion reactor in the basement, kind of, and we got more energy. Heck, we can distill water out of there. I got water coming out my rear. I got all these questions, answers, then what? Is it okay then? You know what I mean? We're
going to
find out. We're going to find out when we come back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Frosty Wooldridge. Yeah, we're going to be talking about this immigration thing. And and Frosty, I know you got all these numbers, and I get it. But, you know, my counter is, I'm going, all right, so, you know, we desalinate water, becomes a solar kind of fusion click, and all of a sudden I got all the energy and water I ever needed. Now what?
Well, again, with higher populations, you're going to have more restrictions on personal freedom. You're going to have higher consequences on quality. Your higher consequences on quality of life.
Okay, but why? You got to help me out, man. I'll help you out.
Exponential growth is not sustainable in the long term. This is a finite planet. We have a finite amount of water. We have a finite amount of air and oxygen and balance on the planet. And let's just go to one of the great questions out there. Humans right now and their encroachment on the natural world right now is causing about 100 extinctions of species every single day.
Frosty, you're killing me, man. You're giving I'm telling you,
everything
that you want to do, you're going to have to use government force. And I'm going, how are you going to determine what, if you're going to give me a number, then I'll just give you another number. Okay, I just doubled the energy supply. Now what? You know, you just get, well, you got to have water. Okay, I just tripled the water supply. We desalinated using solar, you know, off the beach, kind of. Now what? Then you but then you're going to go, now what? I'm going, okay, how are you going to use government in order to make this control? And if you control it, you're going to come up with a number. And I go, okay, I give you another number. I mean, you're evading the principle. What is the proper role of government? And if you're going to have a number, who decides that number? You?
Well, Mother Nature's going to decide it in the final
analysis.
Yes, it
will.
And listen, Ernie, she does it every day right now in overloaded countries to the tune of 18 million humans die of starvation every year now. You see, I've already been in those countries where it's happening now.
And I guarantee you they have the problem of government. They don't have private property rights. They don't have the government protecting their individual rights. They're thrown into the slum areas. That's kind of this common, we're going to structure and do, and you can't innovate. And if you do, we're going to take your profits and money. I mean, you're right. We're going exactly like these other countries, but not for the reasons you say. It's because of government. It's this oppressive regulation, taxation. And one of the biggest excuses that they've wanted all this time to be able to take the next step forward was to be able to track us, find out who we are, where we're traveling, anal probe at the airport, papers please, more and more and more control. And the more control they get, the worse it's going to get, and the more they're going to have to find another excuse to blame it on. And right now, it's immigration. I go, okay, well, all the 80% of the people, you know, dropped coming into Arizona. Most of the workers here in construction left. We have a loss in population here in Arizona, and the Hispanics. And they go, all of a sudden, even the Minutemen disbanded. They go, hey, we're good. I guess we don't need to do anything anymore. So I'm just going, you know, I if I answer every single one of your questions with more supply or something, I'm going, okay, what's the number? Who determines it? Who enforces it? And how do we get that number? So I'm wondering where the protection of individual rights comes in, or is it even on your list?
Well, individual rights will diminish as population rises because it's simply
from you.
If you look at China right now, the limitation of personal freedoms are unbelievable simply because of the numbers that are over there, 1.3 billion
now,
and growing by 8
million.
You know,
it's because of a government that uses it as an excuse.
They are forced into their situation because of their horrific population numbers.
So we're forced to violate the Constitution. We're forced to.
Well, it's going to happen to this country, too. You're going to have more restrictions.
Right now, are we forced to violate the Constitution, papers, please, because of immigration? Is that your point?
Well, with 20 million illegally...
See, you keep giving me numbers. I'm asking you. Either you do or you do not believe that we should be checking people on the road for their ID. Do you know about the gentleman that was a truck driver here they hauled off? Do you know that story?
Sob stories by the singular doesn't count.
Oh, man, that was the whole point of this country, was to protect the singular. That was the whole point.
Yeah, but we've got 20 million people in this country who are illegally in the country.
Do you or do you not believe in the protection of individual rights as the prime directive of this government?
Absolutely. I agree totally with the U.S. Constitution. I advocate for the Constitution. I live by the Constitution.
Okay, so why am I able to say it's constitutional, pulling people over, papers, please?
Hey, in the final analysis, the person that gets pulled over, if they're legal, they have their papers, they're going to go on their way, there's not going to be a problem because
have
they
their
are
papers.
A legal
so you
American
gotta, so
citizen.
So I'm carrying around my papers now, is that what you're saying?
Well, we all have to carry our ID around in order to drive a car, in order to go to a bank, in order to get into a, to buy some booze at the thing. We all carry our legal papers that shows that we are legal American citizens.
Okay, so let's say you get your dream. Every single undocumented, nobody, you're supposed to be, boom, you're shipped back to Mexico. And so to keep it that way, are we still going to be papers, please?
It's just the normal aspect of being a citizen of this country. You have a passport if you want to travel in other countries. You show the passport upon demand. You show that you are legally in the country. You have your visa. That's the standard operating. I've been in almost 100 countries in my lifetime,
and
I've never entered one of them without
America.
A visa or my passport.
Inside America. Whenever asked to produce ID, you're proud to turn it over.
I'm happy to show that I am a citizen of this country. I show my ID. You're right. Correct.
You see, this is what it all comes down to, Frosty. All these numbers and everything, blah, 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 as an excuse to do papers, please. And my point has been, from the beginning, this entire issue is to bring about that result. All the other stuff is just fear tactic in the future, maybe kind of sort of going to happen. We have to. Whatever justification is, I'm walking down the street, papers, please. And I'm a freckle-faced, redheaded kind of individual. I doubt I'm on top of the list. But that don't mean, you know, I'm not going to get asked for my paper. And I hate traveling, man. I mean, it used to be I just drive. Well, now I can't even get out of Arizona. I go down to Yuma, I got to go through a checkpoint. I go up the Hoover Dam, I got to go through a checkpoint. And I'll bet you going through Laughlin sooner or later is going to be another checkpoint. So I'm going, you know, this is not the America I was promised in junior high.
The leaders of the America that you used to live in, whether it was Truman or whether it was Eisenhower, who did make sure the federal government took care of the borders, is no longer happening. And so because the federal government is not doing its job, and according to the U.S. Constitution, that four past presidents have failed us miserably, that's what caused that. In the final analysis, we've got to have a president and a Congress who will implement and enforce the immigration laws and all laws in the books instead of just selectively ignoring them. And the crisis of the population or the immigration issue has been caused because John McCain, he's one of the worst senators in the U.S. Senate because he has not done anything to protect our country's borders in 30 years as a senator. I hope J.D. Hayworth spanks him in the next election because he's an old war horse and McCain has to go. But it's the responsibility of the federal government, and since the federal government hasn't done that for 30 years, it's now states' rights, and God bless Arizona for standing up for the American people and fellow Arizonans to absolutely put a law into place that absolutely enforces the U.S. Constitution at the state level. Ernie, I applaud that.
Wow. How can you possibly discern it's enforcing the U.S. Constitution when you can just be stopped by any law enforcement, forced to give your papers? If you don't, they detain you until you can prove your U.S. citizenship. I mean, they already did it.
Well, everybody carries their ID with them as a requirement of law right now.
Everybody doesn't.
Well, if they're legal American citizens, they do because they want to be a part of and they're invested in our civilization and our country.
Speak for yourself, man.
Well, I tell you what, I've lived in this country for 63 years. I've traveled out of this country for years and years. This is the best deal on the planet. We have the most freedoms. We have the most opportunities for all races, creeds, and colors.
You're taking them away in the name of immigration. When we've had this discussion so many times, Frosty, and I'm going, there is no way to accomplish the way you want to do it without papers, please. And
let's celebrate papers, please, then, because it's the only way to carry on some kind of form of normalcy and legitimacy and lawfulness in a society. We're not back in the tribes of the Indians here, roving the Great Plains. There's the Apache are not here anymore. We don't have that in the past. You can't be an anachronism. You have to move into the 21st century, Ernie, and I'm one of the 21st century people that understands how we can have our freedoms, and we can have our freedoms by the U.S. Constitution and obeying the U.S. Constitution and investing in it and becoming loyal to it and becoming a part of it because it assures us of our freedom.
I
take your breath away.
it's phenomenal to me how we can twist this issue into we should celebrate that we're being asked for our papers. I a lot of times on the show, Frosty, people, you know, especially my kids and so on, they think it's even I asked a question in school. You learn about Nazi Germany and all this kind of stuff. How could they have that happen? How could they ever let that go? I can't imagine the people. They deserve what they got. They let blah, blah, blah. I'm going, look, it was immigration, what they were talking about back then. It was gypsies. It was the Jews. It was homosexuals. It was it's the same rhetoric. You know, here we go. And I'm going, you know, it would never happen here, really. They put the Japanese in internment camps. They shipped, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of Mexicans in the 50s under Eisenhower in Operation Wetback back before. They're going, yay, we need to do it again. And I'm going, you know, I really see it only government that's always complaining about more customers. The problem is that you're right. They're a drain, but they're not a drain, you know, well, it's on the welfare system and the welfare public government school system. We got on public libraries, the public, public. We never even asked the question, why we got all these public entitlements and public programs and public ripping me off and redistributing to somebody? That is the problem. I'm going, I don't care if somebody comes up from Mexico and wants to get a job, be my freaking guest. I have no problem with that whatsoever. The problem I have is a guy from Appalachia or Kentucky or California coming here and getting on some welfare roll. That's my problem. I don't even care, you know, how many Hispanics are on. What heck, you got bureaucracies lining up. To, here's a voter registration form. Oh, by the way, here's some government program you can be on, and you get your kids educated free and your baby's birth for nothing. I'm going, that is the problem, and nobody even addresses it. It doesn't even come up. Nobody talks about it because it's for America. It's okay for your fellow American to rip you off. It's okay for your fellow American to steal from you. It's okay for your fellow American to take your sustenance and lower your standard of living, but it's not from people that you create something like NAFTA. You put these millions of farm workers out of work, and you wonder what happens. They need a freaking job. And I'm like, you know, this is just so crazy, and you're advocating for more of it.
No, I'm not.
You want more government, social, and economic engineering. And you're willing to give up your privacy, your freedom to get this security thing, you know, and old Franklin had something to say about that. Let's go ahead and go to, we got a lot of people. Let's go ahead and start taking calls, man. David in New Mexico, then Darlene, then Doug, then Jim. Let's go to David first. Go ahead, David.
Button today, Ernie.
Pardon me?
I have a question for Frosty.
Go.
Frosty, I very much agree with you on the immigration issue that we do need to defend our border. I mean, it comes right down to, like, your personal home. You don't just throw the door open and let anybody wander in that wants to eat out of your cupboard and sleep in your bed and watch your TV. It's your home. And I think we need to look at America as our home, and we need to take care of that issue. It's part of the New World Order, the North American Union, to overrun this country with Latinos, and that's what's being done at our expense, even when most of our own people are desperately hurting and many, many people are out of work and unemployed, and we need to take
care
of immigration.
Real quick, David, I got a bunch of calls to get to before the break.
Okay, I have a question for Frosty, though, real quick.
Yeah, David, thank you.
Would you rather have continued mass consumerism, wasteful society that we have now with a small number of people enjoying a high standard of living, or an unlimited population living more simply like the Amish people, spread more evenly across the land rather than concentrated in big cities like Agenda 21 of the UN?
Yes. What I look for is steady state economics, and you can go to steadystate.org with Dr. Brian Check. And what steady state economics means you have to have a steady state, a population level.
Numbers.
And so that we have a quality of life and a standard of living that really everyone can enjoy.
Based on somebody's number.
Based on reality that we can't keep growing. Exponential
in
growth is not viable.
Your subjective
opinion. That's not an opinion. That's a scientific fact.
Based on somebody's number.
So, again... I've seen the world up close and ugly, and we need to either come to balance with the carrying capacity, with the water carrying capacity, with the energy carrying capacity, or we'll simply degrade down to the lowest common denominator of struggling with a massive population load. We can change
but
that.
But you avoided my question, Frosty. Would you prefer an unlimited population with a simple agrarian-type lifestyle that was quite successful for thousands of years, or the ultra-modern, poisonous, toxic, high-technology mass consumerism that's filling landfills and poisoning the ocean?
I'll go with the Amish approach, because that's how I live myself. I'm a minimalist.
And I tell you what I want. I want the freedom to be able to just let the free market decide. We're not. We're so economically controlled and engineered that we don't even have the option. Heck, I want to have my living quarters above my little family restaurant. Nope, not allowed. Zoning. Got to go, you know, take up some more land so you can commute, you know, 30 miles to go home instead of just living where you wanted to. You know, this is, I mean, it's all this social and economic engineering. Real quick, Darlene, New York. Go ahead. Darlene?
I'm understanding your concern, which is that we're going to be throwing our right away to go about this country as we please without our papers in our pockets.
15
Why
seconds.
Is it that the onus is not put on these foreigners for them to produce their papers? Is not for us to we can't give up our right to have papers on us when we travel about this country. I need to bring up the point about the DMV too here. The onus should be on the illegals. If per person needs
well,
to
we
be
can
detained.
See if we can slip them, just be them and not us. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Frosty Wooldridge. We were talking off air. I had Carrie ask if Frosty can come back tomorrow. And we'll go ahead and go a whole 2 hours tomorrow. We're going to do it up. I have Butler Schaefer coming. I am scheduled at top of the hour, so we don't have enough time to, you know, get into this like I'd like to. And Frosty and I have done 2 hours before, so it'll be all good. All good. We'll get to it. Now let's go ahead and go to Allen, California. Go ahead, Allen. Allen, I got you.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Yes. Hi, Ernie. I just wanted to let everybody know they're not looking at the big picture. And we should take a couple of tips from the New World Order crowd in what's called social engineering. It's basically akin to how do you lead a donkey? You put a carrot in front of them. And how do you get rid of deer out of your garden? You know, you pour pee around it. Okay. The idea is that if you want to keep illegal immigrants from coming in, don't give them any incentive to come here.
Well, they're going to want a job. I mean, we got a vibrant economy. Here they come.
Well, you know what? If they're not documented, they can't work. I mean, that's the end we need to come from. Not cutting off the borders. If we simply open up the borders and say, you know what, you can come on in, but if you're not going to come through and get documented legally, you can't work here. You can't have babies. You can't be citizens.
Well, let's ask Frosty about that. Frosty, I mean, if the reasons that they're coming here, if they there wasn't a welfare state, or certainly they couldn't get access to it, or they didn't have access to schools and birth and babies and work and all this other stuff, would you still advocate for papers, please?
Again, I'd advocate for the U.S. Constitution to be enforced.
The U.S. Constitution says you're not allowed to just stop me and ask me for my papers. What about that one?
Well, the fact that the Congress is not enforcing the laws is creating the need
for... So then it's okay.
Well, it's not okay. What we need to do is the Congress enforce and go after employers of illegal aliens and stop all these benefits, and that would solve the problem, because if you start throwing a couple of these Swift and Armour and Hormel and all these executives in white ties and coats hiring all these illegal aliens across the board, the poultry plants, you name it, you then wouldn't have the problem in the first place. So what we need is laws enforced. It's that simple.
Well, I agree with that, and I'm also saying, what was this immigration issue started over? As far as I can hear, it's about some farmer that got shot by some MS-13
No, that was just timing.
Grower.
That was just timing. I mean, you know, I put nothing past anybody for nothing. You get into Frosty's brother Howard. We're going on. You know, this is a product of the drug war. In the drug war. You know,
I agree. I think what we need to end the drug war again. Stop the incentive for them bringing it over. Make it legal. You know, forget the Constitution. You know, I mean, don't forget the Constitution. We have to make sure that we don't interfere with the rights of other people. Make sure that police don't profile people. Police don't pull people over for no reason other than to check their immigration status. We have to eliminate.
Yeah, see, this is papers. Hey, thanks. We're coming up on the end of the hour here, Alan. I appreciate it, but please call in tomorrow. All you guys that didn't get in, Jim and Doug and Darlene and David and everybody, you know, we got another Lee in Georgia. Alan, I apologize. We're not going to have time, but we'll do it tomorrow. You guys call in. Frosty and I will go a whole 2 hours and whip it up. But I can tell you, you can start to see where the line is on this. Frosty has always advocated
for getting rid of illegal people here without addressing why they're here or what he's willing to violate in the Constitution of us as individuals in order to accomplish that overriding goal, which is exactly the same goal as the control mechanism of the big bad guys that want to socially and economically engineer us. And Frosty, man, I'm sorry we're short on time. We'll see you tomorrow.